I thought it would be more respectful for me to speak these few moments of homily before I read the gospel, so that when our distinguished speaker speaks after the gospel, it does not appear as an addendum. It has great value in itself, and therefore, out of respect for our speaker, let me say a few words about what we should look for in the gospel reading, which we will read in a few moments. It comes from the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew. It's a continuation of last week. Remember, we had the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the beginning. Here Jesus says to his disciples, "You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth." He didn't check their resume. He didn't look for their record. This was not a recognition of something they achieved. It was a statement of their essential goodness. We have spent much time focusing on original sin. However you interpret that, maybe we have overlooked original goodness. Original sin did not eclipse original goodness. And now, speaking to his disciples very early in their following, he says, "You are the light of the world, and you are the salt of the earth." Peter van Bremen, this Dutch theologian, in his wonderful book, As Bread is Broken, says, "The greatest challenge we have is the act of faith, which is to accept acceptance, to accept the fact that we are unconditionally loved and welcomed into God's presence. No conditions." Now this, very few people come to church to find out how bad they are. We might have people that come here to say, "I just want to confirm the fact that I'm a miserable sinner." Usually people don't come to church to discover how bad they are. They come to be consoled, to be healed, to be strengthened, to be embraced by God's love, whatever our condition in life. Now, this will appear in many ways. I remember when I was a young priest about 50 years ago, and my whole concentration in my priesthood was the work I was doing. I was receiving recognition, I was effective in what I was doing, but there was something missing. So I found this extraordinary spiritual director who saved my life, saved my priesthood. And I went to see him every 3 weeks. And whenever I went to confession to him, when I finished my confession, no matter how miserable and selfish and sinful I was, he would always finish by saying, "But you're good." And I say, at the beginning, I said, "John, don't tell me I'm good." He said, there were tears in my eyes. "I'm not good. I'm a sinner." He said, "No, you're good." And after a while, I began to believe that I am good. He convinced me of my goodness, despite my failures, despite my sins, despite all the weakness in my life. He said, "But you're good." I never forgot that. Now, when people come here to celebrate the sacrament of reconciliation, I sit in the sanctuary here and the person talks to me. I haven't been inside a confession box for 40 years. We talk and I listen to the person, and after the person has confessed their failings, typically I finish by saying, "You're a very good person." And almost always the person says, "That's because you don't know me." I said, "Well, let me tell you what I know about you. You're honest. You're humble. You see your failings. If you hurt somebody, you know you hurt somebody. And you'd like to be a better person. That's a pretty nice person I have here. When we confirm a person in their goodness, sometimes people have tears. Who tells me I'm good? What church tells me that I'm good? I am blessed, I am chosen, I am made in the image of the Creator. When children come here preparing for Easter or Christmas or First Reconciliation, and they come up here and they sit and talk to me and say, well, what would you like to ask Jesus now to forgive you? Typically I have, well, I was fighting with my brother. How old is your brother? 12. Oh, God, you got a big brother? It's not easy having a big brother. No, it's not easy having a big brother. So what does he do that gets you mad? Well, he messes up my room and I get blamed. So what do? I bang the door, I create now Christmas is coming. You can try to be better now and try to be nicer to everybody. Okay, now I say to the child the most important thing of all. I say, I bet you've got a lot of friends. Almost every kid says, I do. And I said, I could tell, just listening to you, there's something really special about you. I just knew you had a lot of friends. I do, yeah. I want that kid to go away saying, I'm good. Because when I was a kid going to confession, I went away saying, I was not good enough. The sacrament is a sacrament not of confessing, of reconciliation. The grace of the sacrament is to be reconciled with the infinite love of God, to be blessed in your uniqueness, to be confirmed in your original goodness. That's the grace of the sacrament. Before you confess your sins, God knows your sins. I don't care about your sins. You might need to confess them, that's fine. But I want you to experience the reconciling love of God. I want you to go away saying, I'm good. I'm blessed. I assure you that it's because of love that you will become the light of the world, not because of fear. You are the salt of the earth because you have experienced love. Love is the energy. Love is the presence of God. The acceptance, the healing effect of love. That's what makes us the light of the world. When I'm in the confessional, I'm not a judge. I'm too imperfect to be a judge. I'm here to reconcile you, to give you an experience of God's love for you. That's the meaning of the gospel. He doesn't look at a resume. He doesn't look at their record. And he knows they're broken, weak persons who are his disciples. And yet he says to them, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. And when we come together to pray here, to celebrate God's presence in our lives, when you go forth from here, out into the economy of life, remember Jesus telling you, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Amen. Please stand now and we'll read the gospel. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. If salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? Be seasoned by love only. No longer good for anything but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world because you're loved. You are the light of the world. A city set on a mountaintop cannot be hidden. People do not light a lamp and place it under a bushel basket. They set it on a lampstand where it gives light to all in the house. Just so, your light must shine before others so that they may see your goodness and give glory to your heavenly Father. The Gospel of the Lord. Now we'll listen to Tom Beck. Tom is a distinguished retired attorney and the former mayor of Arcadia. So, I mean, somebody, this, we don't get people like this.
Politician and a lawyer. One of the highlights of my life was going to Israel with Clem Conley. It's the only time in my life that I kept a diary of my interactions with Monsignor and his homilies. And I feel like I was saved by the gospel today because no one in the right mind wants to speak after Clem Conley. It's like going after Babe Ruth or something. I, like most of you, donated to Together in Mission for years, and I'd write a check, and I would just trust that the money would be well spent. I didn't know where it was going or anything. And then about 15 years ago, I was a benefactor of the Presentation Sisters, and one of the sisters called me and asked me if I would chair a school board in Watts. And Watts, if you don't know, is in South Central Los Angeles, very impoverished area. And everyone knows that when a sister or nun asks you for something, the answer is always yes. And I went down there and I remember what I saw, bullet holes in the windows, graffiti, overgrown landscaping, peeling paint, old furniture, no air conditioning, which meant that when it got hot in the summer, they would have to send the kids home from school because it was unsafe for them to be in school, and no internet. And I looked at the kids, probably about 200 then, and they were happy, well-groomed, polite. And I just saw how happy they were in a surrounding that was so different from my children were living in Arcadia. And during the last 15 years, through the efforts of many people and benefactors, everything's changed on the physical plant. We now have air conditioning, we now have internet, we now, it was completely re-landscaped, painted, new furniture, everything. And the kids are the same, polite, happy, well-behaved, in their cute little uniforms. But, you know, one day sticks out in my mind. It was 2016, and I was the mayor of Arcadia at the time, and I was having lunch with our National Merit Scholars and the superintendent of schools for Arcadia. And he said that every kindergartner, this is back in 2016, got a Chromebook for when they started kindergarten. And I knew from mentoring the middle school kids at San Miguel that nobody had a Chromebook, nobody had a laptop. And, you know, I went home, told my wife, and we went and bought Chromebooks for the middle school. And then we didn't have adequate internet even in the school, and so we had to start working on that. So we are so blessed, you are so blessed, I'm so blessed. San Miguel, there's 206 students, 98% are Hispanic, more than 90% are under the federal poverty level. We get $175,000 from Together with Mission. Truthfully, could not keep our doors open if we didn't get that money. We don't live exactly paycheck to paycheck, but it's pretty darn close. We have a little bit of reserves. And Catholic Ed Foundation gives us $150,000. Our tuition is only $3,700, but our parents really can't afford that. I know yours is more than $9,000, I think. But our parents are the street vendors that sell fruit, and the maids, and you know, different blue-collar people, and it's a struggle for them. Our teachers, we pay them as much as we can, but we pay them twice the minimum wage while they're at school. And we have teachers leaving because they can't afford to live on what we can afford to pay them. So I want you to know that what I've learned is that any money you give to Together in Mission is needed, and it's well spent. Every dollar we wisely spend. There's no expense ratio or anything like that. The money that we get keeps the doors open. And I feel very blessed for my life, and I'm always guided by St. Luke's gospel, and I think we all should be, that those that have been, to which much has been given, much will be expected. So please know that when you, the envelope is this one, next week, that this money is really going to good places to keep schools like San Miguel open. Because without Together in Mission money, we would have to close. Thank you.